With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pair.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game, so just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome, here we grow again. It is a fantabulous Thursday. Yep, that's an official word. It is the new. We're bringing it out. We're bringing it to the forefront of culture consciousness. You heard it here first, folks. And probably last, but you know, never know. I'm doing just splendid. Hope you are as well. I've had a beautiful morning this morning. I actually was reminded of what I'm supposed to talk about today. As I've mentioned before, sometimes topics will come to me as I'm sort of dreaming, in especially in that in between asleep and awake state. And that happened to me this morning. The concept of everything being spiritual came to me. And of course, you know, I was half asleep, half awake. And it was just like in the moment, I'm like, oh, okay, that's coming to me. That's the topic today that I'm supposed to talk about. And then back to sleep for an hour plus and kind of forgot about it. Sometimes I'll write it down even so I don't forget. And then I was talking to lovely Alexis, lovely listener Alexis, about coming to the Mystic Manor for the 7-day retreats that we are going to be doing from July 2019 to July 2020 that are absolutely epic. If you haven't heard about it, by the way, check out optimistic.tv. You can read all about it and certainly reach out to me, like I was talking to Alexis, figuring out how to make it work out so that she could come and experience the magic and be on the new show, the late night style, you know, talk show that we're going to be doing Optimistic, and also on the podcast as part of it. You guys who are coming will be a part of the podcast. So anyway, you can reach out Brandon at positivehead.com if you want to have a conversation with me about, figuring something out. I'm definitely being flexible with people to make sure they can come if they really want to come, not letting finances and whatnot get in the way. So anyway, that's not the main point. The main point is I was talking to her and she brought up talking about a UFC fighter that she knows who sort of walks this line between the very physical, you know, grimy sort of hardcore fighting world. And then also is like a Reiki practitioner and does, you know, astral projects. And, you know, and we got talking about this. I'm like, oh, yeah, I said it. I was like, well, yeah, it's all spiritual. And we've got to be really careful not to fall into putting things in this box of, oh, this is spiritual and that is not. And, you know, it's very easy to fall into this kind of spiritual narcissism or elitism as we sort of start down our path of awakening and in re-remembering who and what we are. And we can, you know, get judgy like, oh, that person's really into, you know, the Kardashians or really into cars and houses and boats. And oh, that's so physical and not spiritual. And, you know, fighting, oh, that's not spiritual. And it's like, no, it's all spiritual. Everything is divine. Everything is spiritual. And you have a lot of people who are walking that line. I think that's a lot of the reason why Joe Rogan's podcast is so popular. You know, he's really into that world. And he also touches in maybe not as deep down the rabbit hole as we go here. But he definitely brings on, you know, talks about, you know, plant medicines and psychedelics and, you know, some different things that are not super worldly in some ways, if you will. And so I think, you know, that's an important thing for people to be able to walk that balance. You didn't come here to so that you could be in the non-physical. You know what I mean? We have to be really cautious of that. Like, you came to Earth to have a physical experience. And I think for a lot of people, you start having your awakening and it's like, I want out of here. I want to float in the ethers and only have, you know, out of body experiences or, you know, connect with other beings, non-physical entities, whatever it might be that people get into, you know, sort of experiencing. It's like an escapism from the physical. And when you realize that the physical is just as spiritual as anything, it's all divine, it's all God, it's all happening, you know, within God, within the, you know, God is all things. The body of God includes this planet, this physical planet. It's all vibration, just at different different resonance, different levels. Like it's just vibrating at different sort of frequencies. So it's kind of like hot and cold, right? If you touch hot water and cold water, it feels very different, but it's still water. This is still all energy, everything that you see. This is just as much the spiritual realm as non-physical is. They're just different temperatures, different frequencies, different vibrations. So really cool that Alexis's conversation like reminded me, because, you know, it's obviously that source wanted me to talk about this at this time. And I love to contemplate that whole idea of, like, you know, the timing of messages and what's meant to come through at a given moment, and as a result, and who needs to hear it more than, you know, maybe if I had talked about it next week or next month or a year ago or whatever. And so, yeah, that's kind of the thing that I just want to really explore today. And there's some great quotes around it that I found that really kind of support this idea. You know, William Blake said, if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. Victor Hugo said, to love another person is to see the face of God. So that means, what does that mean? Loving, when you see someone really immersed in physical, maybe they're kind of shallow from one perspective, really caught up in things and what kind of, you know, bag they carry, what kind of car they drive, how big the house is, any of those things, that is part of their journey, part of their experience. And it's an important stopping off point on their particular path. And their path may be different than your path. And that's so, so important as well. So often we get so attached to our own path, like, oh, well, I don't need substances to, you know, why would you ever take a plant medicine or psychedelic or, and for you, that may be very, very true. For someone else, it could be, and this is just an example, it could be a very powerful tool to spawn their awakening, right? So, oh, I don't need to focus on, you know, living in this mansion. I just want to live in the woods away from everyone and everything. And it's like, is that spiritual? Like, The contrast is really where the beauty comes from. If everyone was exactly like you, let's say that is your aim, and you really like the idea of living in the woods and having, you know, growing your own organic food and this beautiful life, and that there's not, I adore that perspective and view, but not at the expense of what someone else is calling in for themselves based off of their own unique path and where they're at in their journey back to remembering in their own reunion with their higher self. And they may still need to, they maybe need the Floyd Mayweather experience. I mean, you know, I've never seen anyone more caught in ego than Tim. That's just an example. And that's okay. You know, it's like that. What you notice a lot of times with these people is like my brother often says, he's like, the universe is respecter of no man. It's like you sort of get dealt with that ego stuff when it's really inflated and out of control. That's okay. It's kind of fun and entertaining even to watch, honestly, for me. You know, I see someone like Trump and his ego. I'm the best of the best. Oh, I'm the most Bible-y of all Bible knowers, and I'm the best businessman that's ever been and ever could be and should be and would be. And it's kind of comical. It's kind of fun to watch, really. It's like, give me the popcorn. Like, I'm not going to hate on it. I'm going to enjoy watching their process because I know it's coming. Like, you know, the universe is going to course correct, even if it's not in this life. Right. And speaking of plant medicines and everything, and a fighter, Floyd Mayweather, I brought up, you know, Mike Tyson. He had a pretty big ego. And I just saw a clip on ESPN of him talking about having a DMT experience and how it just like completely shattered his ego and humbled him completely. And the fact that this was being talked about so casually on ESPN, and then the interviewee brought up like, oh, was it ayahuasca? And he's like, no, it was straight DMT and way more profound. And, you know, you could see that Mike Tyson was just like floored by what he experienced. He realized how small he was from a certain perspective, right? Compared to this broader consciousness that, you know, he expanded into having, I don't know if he didn't say if he did 5-MeO DMT or NN-DMT, you know, 5-MeO, they call the breath of God. A lot of times you have the experience of merging with all things. And by the way, next week's powwow is with a fascinating doctor who's been studying DMT in Japan. And you know, so we go deep down this rabbit hole. So if this is an interesting topic for you, you know, you will appreciate next week's soul share. But yeah, I mean, everything in the universe has rhythm. Everything dances, as Maya Angelou said. There are only two ways to live your life. One as though nothing is a miracle. The other as though everything is a miracle. So if you look at all these things, and that was attributed to Albert Einstein, I didn't look to see if it actually was. A lot of times he gets misquoted, but I love the quote. I don't care who said it. You know, everything is a miracle. Even that really shallow ego-based stuff. It's like, see the people for who and what they actually are, right? See them as divine beings having their experience somewhere in their journey. And if they're somewhere in your journey that you're so glad that you're not, be grateful to them that they're willing to hold that contrast down for you and oftentimes suffer, you know, in the process, right? Because let's face it, being really caught up on, you know, material things and ego-based perspectives, man, that's a rough road because, you know, you will EGO, everybody's greatest obstacle. You're going to feel a lot of bumps with that one. You will be humbled inevitably. You know, Rob Bell said all of life is spiritual. You don't have a spiritual life. You are a spiritual life. Love this perspective. I actually have a clip here that I want to share as, Esther Hicks Abraham talking about, responding to everything with ease and acceptance. It's the name of the clip. I found it on the Abraham Daily YouTube page. Let's take a listen.
Hello, Abraham. Let's play. I would like to know, what would Source do in a situation where you would have a negative experience or emotion, not in particular to any situation, I mean, in like a person or anything, but just in general, because I would like to go from general and then slowly start fine-tuning it. And I would like to learn how to do that. Going from the general and fine-tuning the what Source thinks about me currently, what would Source do about this, how would I think about that feeling, that that emotion?
Well, we like the direction of your question because it's in alignment with this body of work and where it is currently focused, which is step five. So step one is ask, step two is source answer, step three is align with what you're asking for, step four is master that so you're really good at it, which is what you're attempting to do here. And then step five is being consciously happy in the midst of contrast. And that's what source does. So when you say, what does source do? Source lives in step five. We don't freak out when there's contrast. We understand the value of the contrast. And the contrast that exists does not take us from our high vibration. A softer, easier way to say that to you is, we don't worry about you when you're worried about you or ever. We don't worry about you. We have our undivided attention on the vortex version of yourself that you have created. So if you step away from the vortex version, if you for a moment lose your place between where you are and your vortex version, that's when you start feeling negative emotion. We don't go there with you. And that's why you feel negative emotion. So not only what would source do, you might ask, why would source do it? And the answer is because we know the value of feeling good. We know the value of feeling good. We know that feeling good means alignment. And in alignment, there is power. In alignment, there is creation. There is deliberate creation. So you want to take some subject and move it from outside alignment into general and then into more specific alignment? Or are you happy with the conceptual explanation that we just gave you?
Love.
Love is really good because love is that unconditioned. Love is the ultimate unconditioned. Love is what source feels about you regardless of what you feel about yourself. Do you know what the biggest evidence of your inner being's never-ending love for you is? Do you know what the most often biggest evidence of it is? Your own negative emotion. Because if it were not for the way source feels about you, you could not feel the opposite of it. You could not feel the absence of it. So every time you feel negative emotion, you know what source would do? If source were to ever feel negative emotion?
Love.
Acknowledge that it's the presence of love that even makes that negative emotion possible. That was very big. All emotions are relational. All are relational. So a lot of people use the word love and they're not feeling it. It's sort of a goal. Enough?
I had also a wanting to know of how to interact with people that are negative, that would be negative, because I do understand the contrast they provide and I see that in them, but how do I interact with them in such a way?
If you do, you see, this is the same question that we just talked about just now. And if you do understand them, then you've already got that handled because you don't need them to be different in order to feel good. You feel good regardless of how they feel.
But how do I help them?
Well, here's the question that we have for you, and you're really going to like this. Do you accept that you are an extension of source energy?
Yes.
You? And do you accept that source energy is aware of you at all times?
Yes.
And do you accept that you have a relationship with that source energy that you can feel through your emotions?
Yes.
And do you accept that whether you're allowing it or not, source is there for you?
Yes.
And do you accept that it's the same for them too?
Yes.
So if you're feeling negative emotion and source can't come and get you and take you out of it, you have to meet source over in that better feeling place. Isn't that true of them too? What we're asking of you, because you're a teacher to the very core of your being, what we're asking of you is that if source can't go bring them out of their funk, why do you think that you should? But source does something that most humans don't do. Source doesn't fret about it. Source doesn't worry about it. Source doesn't judge them in their funk. Source doesn't condemn them for being there. Source patiently holds the vision of who they really are, giving them the ultimate opportunity to join. And that's what you do for someone. That's how you help them. You see them as you know them to be, and you don't torture them with your words.
I also had a question about wanting to know how mostly stay in the words of that source, those beautiful, positive, things are always working out for me, that's the fine tuning I was trying to get into from the general, because then you get general, you get everything's working out for me, things are great, look at this, is wonderful, I'm loving this, then I just feel it and I just get into it, and then things and situations come and then I'm aware of these things and I'm like, oh, that's the connection I make. But what more words or what more things are there that I can...
Well, here's the thing. You're going to really like this. When you realize that feeling good is natural for you, that your cork will float up there in that pure positive energy unless you hold it under the water. So let's say you're feeling good and then you focus on your friend that you're worried about, so you hold it under the water. And so when you don't do those things that take you away from your alignment, then your alignment just becomes more steady and consistent and natural, and then you do it with greater ease. And so what would keep someone from being in that high-flying, good-feeling place more of the time? What does keep you from being there? Well, it's attention to things that are of a different vibration. And so that's why we're talking about step five. That's why we're talking about being more unconditional. That's why your shirt says it all. It says it all. It is the not letting whatever this condition is be big enough or important enough that it throws the resistance. It's like putting a stick in a fast-moving wheel. What keeps anybody from being in that place that you are describing that you want to be is witnessing of life that is of a different vibrational nature. And so if you overlay everything that you are, your intention to feel good anyway, your intention to feel good anyway, your intention to diffuse rather than infuse, your intention to play unwanted things down rather than play them up, your intention to soothe, your intention to chill, your intention to make it feel better, so that wherever you are, if that's your intention, then you're constantly diffusing anything that doesn't feel good. And after a little bit, we're talking about a few days or weeks of consciously diffusing, what happens is your set point just keeps moving upward, upward, upward until it becomes a non-issue for you. It's just natural for you to feel good. You're never going to be in a place where there is not something that is unwanted. There will always be contrast in your experience, and there will always be things that are resistant in nature. But someone who is really living the way they've intended to live is someone who acknowledges that there are unwanted things and doesn't make a big deal out of the unwanted things by being mad at self. Step five, we're going to say it in a very brief, quotable form. Step five is no longer being mad at yourself because you're in step one. That's what step five is. And so just think about it. If something happens and you say, it's cool, and something happens and you say, well, that's cool, and something else happens and you say, well, I'm not going to worry about that, and something else happens and you say, things are always working out for me, and something else happens and you say, well, it's all part of the process, and something else happens and you say, well, this negative thing may be in being inspired to that problem because in the examining of that problem, I'm going to find a bigger solution that I wouldn't have had access to before. As you begin to say things like that, or you can continue to say things like that, then after a while, you're free in the world. You're not guarded. We've watched so many of you as you've been listening to us and learning from us, and really not learning from us, but hearing the confirmation from us that your own life is helping you to understand. And we see you sometimes say, oh, I've really got this, but those people at work are so negative. And you feel guarded about them because you feel protective of your state of alignment. When you are no longer protective of your state of alignment because you know it is reaching achievable in any moment of any day, then you are really frisky and free to move out in the world. Otherwise, you want to cluster together in groups of people that think just like you do. And that's a really conditional life. That's that guarded, trying to control circumstances and conditions in order to feel good. And you're not ever going to be happy when you believe that you have to control conditions and circumstances in order to be happy. You're only ever going to be happy when the whole world is out there for you to explore and examine, and you're not afraid of any of it because you know that there's no assertion, so nothing unwanted is going to assert itself in your experience. And if something does come into your experience, you know you have called it and you know what to do about that. You see. And now, there are so many others who you might even categorize as negative in nature, who are full of delicious gifts for you. Some of your most negative friends are really funny. And some of them are full of sporadic insight. They don't give it to you very often, but every now and again they lay something on you so profound that you bless the day you met them. And so it's a big world out there full of all kinds of diversity. We want you to love your diversity because it is your power and your strength, and it is your future, because without it, there could be no new desires born within you. And the new desires that are continually being born within you, that's life, you see. That's the promise of eternalness. Yeah.
Are there any words, per se, that you can help us remember? That where we came from, those words of the feel-good words, those words.
We like your question again, because think about the receiving mode and think about the fact that we aren't speaking words to you. We're offering vibration, and Esther's finding words that sort of match it, and you all can do it too. So realize that we are projecting, we are radiating, we are extending, we are focusing. Who you are and what we know about you, the whole version of you, we're focusing that to you at all times. And you are reaching for the inspired words. So when you get into that place of alignment, then the words come to you. And you said it to us already today. The word is love. When you feel that, when you feel those goosebumps rippling up over you, last seminar, which was yesterday in Boston, during the segment of refreshment, Esther went through the kitchen and to her sleeping room. And as she got into the service elevator, a young man was there who, when he saw her, came to the conclusion that she was in the wrong elevator. And so he explained to her, in the future, you must use the guest elevators. And as he was looking at Esther, then, before she could say anything to him, he said, but you didn't know. And Esther felt the love of Source wash all down all around her as he was giving her the benefit of the doubt. He wanted to be helpful, but you didn't know. In other words, there was no negative judgment about what he was believing was a mistake that Esther had made. And so, many times, complete strangers will receive the message that Source has for you and speak it right out loud to you. Like that. That's what happened then. That was Source just loving on Esther through the path of least resistance. But it is even more delicious when those thoughts occur to you. But let's not make it about words, because there are not enough words in the world to convey the love that we feel for you.
I love these five steps that, you know, we've talked about before, but understanding the whole process of sort of organizing your inner world and perspective, you know, first in creating your reality, asking is first. Knowing then, that's step one. You ask. Ask and it is given. She has a book, right? It's instantly given because there's no time. It's in your vibrational vortex. Source has instantly created it. It maybe hasn't shown up, reflected in your reality yet. It's like sitting over here in a holding cell, in a sense. Maybe a cell is a bad word, but vibrational escrow, right? As she puts it. And it's there waiting for you. You ask, it instantly is there waiting for you. You then, your job is to become in alignment with it so much, step three, that it actually has to appear and be sort of released from vibrational escrow and reflected in your world, right? That's step three. Then four is really getting good at this process, learning to master it. You know, I definitely have, as I was actually talking a little bit about earlier with Alexis, you know, getting my own sea legs with this process, you know, creating and calling in abundance. I asked for lots of abundance. Then I got into vibrational, source answered it. I then got into vibrational alignment with it, went from, you know, friend's couch to an Inc. 500 fastest growing private company, then let, you know, sort of fear creep in and as a result lost it, created something else, you know, and, you know, this roller coaster of learning to align, falling out of alignment. So I wasn't mastering it yet. I was getting my sea legs, if you will, and I'm getting better. I'm definitely stronger and stronger and stronger at this. And I think as we evolve and move into the next level, as we ascend, essentially, it's important that we get this down because we're moving into a vibrational zone where things are created and reflected sooner. Like almost like on the other side, they say it's like instantaneous. You think something and it appears. Well, you know, that's a gift that we don't think something and it appears instantly. Hold the vibration of something and it appears instantly now. Well, a lot of us would be. What is the movie? Is it Ghostbusters where that's what happens? The old Ghostbusters and the guy's like, don't think about anything bad. Don't think about anything bad. And he thinks of the state puff marshmallow man like attacking the city and instantly it appears. That's like the future. That's your future, right? Well, you're not going to have the state puff marshmallow man attack you, though. You're going to create beauty and you're going to do it by, although that was kind of beautiful to watch. There's worse ways to go than death by marshmallow. And so... It's definitely like that's where we're going to. I feel that very, very strongly. So getting good at this, you've got your training wheels on, but the vibration is increasing. The time between thought, vibration, and reflection is decreasing, right? That lag as we merge more with the other side, as we ascend. So it's really important, step four, mastering this process. And then five, so important, being consciously happy, she said. I would say even, you know, not necessarily happy, but being at peace in the midst of contrast. You maybe don't love the contrast if you've created something that, you know, you don't want to see more of, but you can be at peace with it, knowing that it actually serves the whole process and that's a part of the process. And that's how you move through it. And that's how you become a master. Step five and step four are really, you know, interlaced there. And Source lives in step five. Right. Let there be light. Let there be life. I'm light. I'm always let there be life and light. Right. I'm always focused on being at peace with the contrast. Source doesn't worry when you're out of alignment with your highest version. It knows it is OK with it. It's not there with you, which is why you feel negative, because you're cut off from your source. You know, that love is cut off. You've cut it off. You've chose it, but you can always come back. That's the beautiful thing. And that's what she talked about in this. Don't worry if you fall out of alignment. You can always come back. Don't play it so safe that you go live in a cave where you just meditate to keep away from all the low vibration beings, right? And, you know, I love how she talked about the fact that negative emotion, the biggest evidence of your inner being's never ending love is your own negative emotion. You know, you have that to go back to. And that's such a relief, isn't it? The presence of love makes the negative possible. All emotions are relational, right? So honoring them all, like you honor all people's process. You don't need people to do anything to feel good. You know, he asked, how do I help other people? Well, you know, I love her answer. If Source can't go grab them out of their funk, why do you think you should? That's not your job. Source doesn't fret or judge them about where they're at. Source just keeps holding the vision of who and what they truly are. Like the book, The Little Soul in the Sun talks about, which I highly, highly recommend ordering, whether it's a children's book, but even for adults, my favorite. Don't torture people with your words. Don't beat them up verbally because of where they're at or where they're not. You know, I've done a lot of using words against people at times of my life. And what a futile thing. It's such a, you know, self-defeating thing that took me a while to really get. Just knowing positivity is like a cork. It's going to pop back to the top. Consciously diffusing things. This is the dance. Learning to play things down. Learning to soothe whenever something is rough, right? There's always going to be contrast and resistance in your world. Make your intention to just constantly diffuse, constantly play it down, constantly to focus on what feels good. Step five, she said, is no longer being mad at yourself because you're in step one. It's accepting exactly where you're at. Don't be so protective of your alignment because you know it's always reattainable again. You don't need to go live in a cage, in a cave or cage. Beginning today, Og Mandino said, beginning today, treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be dead by midnight. Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do so with no thought of any reward. Your life will never be the same again. And what I would say to that beautiful quote is, just the act of treating them that way is the reward. Goethe said, treat people as if they were what they ought to be, and you help them become what they are capable of being. Right? Let there be light. Let there be light. Focus. Treat everyone as you meet, if they're God and drag, as if they're the master and you're the student. They're there to help you work out your own stuff. Whatever they're doing doesn't matter. Doesn't really, you don't need them to understand anything. It's what are you doing with what's arising is always the question. How are you moving into the highest possible, response and proactive response to whatever is arising in your world? With that being said, that's my story today. I'm sticking to it. I have a track for you. It's Wookie Foot. The question is, who are you? I know who you are. Do you know who you are? I think you do. You are me. I am you. And I love you so, 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 so much. Till next time, journey well.
Just echo, trapped in this sandcastle and needing to let go. Can anyone hear me now? Can anyone hear me now? Fanatical phone addicts lack eye contact as a tactic. Pupils glued to their screens beam out to the cyber galactic. And real life now seems so damn anticlimactic. Everyone's a stranger hiding inside higher tax brackets. I don't want my intelligence to be artificial or someone selling me it's more beneficial. So slow down ahead, this curve goes exponential with catastrophic unintentional consequence potential. Who are we now? Who are we? On the news is about Iranian uranium and how everybody loses when they're invading the Ukrainians. They're enslaving the third world natives and they call it saving them. I have the dose of my utopia to cope with pain inside my cranium. I just gotta calm down, I need more patience. But my heart just doesn't resound with the sound of technological salvation. The distance between the new nations, people on the ground and the space station. And this acceleration just seems bound for devastation.
It's starting to feel like this is all just a simulation. With sky painted on the ceiling in plastic vegetation. We're all looking for something with meaning. What it means to be a human. What it means to just be humans being. Are we now? Who are we?
understand the idea of nature versus nurture. If humans are just animals, then isn't it just a merger? When did civilization even decide on its departure? If we don't nurture nature, we're just wrecking our own future. In the jungles of concrete, people feed on bipolarity, medicating away all the clarity, so that there would be never a hope for solidarity. And apparently, nature fades into obscurity as we tragically and rapidly head for the singularity. Who are you? Question just echo. Trapped in this sandcastle and needing to let go. Can anyone hear me now? Can anyone hear me now?
Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.